Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call for the presentation of the earnings for Boa Safra for Q1 21. We have with us Mr. Marino Colpo and Glaube Caldas, and Investor Relations of Boa Safra. We inform that the participants will be in the listen mode only during the presentation. Next, we will begin the Q&A session. In the Q&A session, we request that the questions be sent via the webcast platform. The slides will be controlled by you. Now, I would like to pass the floor to Mr. Marino Colpo, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Marino, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mariana. My name is Marino Colpo. I am CEO of Boa Safra, and I ask you all to go to slide number 3. It is with great satisfaction that we begin our first conference call for earnings for Q1 2021. I want to highlight our entrance in the stock market, Novo Mercado. We issued more than 40 million shares at 9.90 per share, 9.90 reais. This can reach another 15%, an extra 15%, representing 6 million ordinary shares with a free float of 39.7% and total 111 million shares. Slide number 4. I'd like to talk about the highlights of the quarter. Within the highlights, our increase in production and storage capacity by 25.6%, a growth of 2.7% in the revenue in the last 12 months in comparison with 2020, an increase of 38.2% in the volume of seeds and raw materials received to be processed in Q1 2021 in comparison with Q1 2020. The expansion of our storage capacity in our unit in Buritis by 33.3%, and also the storage and production capacity by 36.3% in our unit in Cabeceiras, Goiás. We also began our construction in Jaborandi, Bahia. It will be ready next year with a ROI in the last 12 months of 61.9% and an EBITDA margin in the last 12 months of 16.2%. A strong increase in the sales contracts at 196.1% increase in comparison with 2020. Obviously, as mentioned, the public offer of 40,404,040 ordinary shares at the price of 9.90 per share. Going on to slide number 5, a vision of the market and the seed market for soybean in Brazil. We have a market that is booming in the last few years, a very strong market. We have said that we believe it should continue growing this market. Boa Safra is in the segment of food, so we have two drivers for our growth. The first driver is the growth of the world population. Every time the world population grows, there is an increase in the demand for food in the world. The second driver is one of the growth of income in the world, higher income in the world. Many countries are seeing an increase in the income of the population, especially in Asia. When they have higher income, they increase their need for protein, animal protein. Every time that the demand for soybean increases, our product has greater demand all over the world. And this global growth is shown on the first graph. Here we have the area planted with soybean. So this global growth has increased the area planted with soybean, especially in Brazil. Brazil is one of the largest to take care of this demand. In the last 10 years, the growth of the planted area has been 4.8% a year. According to CONAB, they believe that Brazil should continue growing its planted area in a way very similar to the growth we have seen in the last few years. So our projection for 2026-2027, based on numbers from CONAB, is that Brazil will plant 43.7 million hectares of soybean. And this will generate a demand for 60 million bags of seeds. Every time the planted area increases, also the need for seeds increases. So we compare both slides, both graphs, the upper and lower. In the upper graph, we see the planted area and the volume of seeds in the lower graph, 40 kilogram bags. So when the planted area grows, the demand for seeds also grows. If you look at the top five players in soybean, you will see that Brazil, the graph on the upper left, Brazil passed the U.S. 4 years ago, and today Brazil is leader in production and exports for soybean. Another interesting sector is to look at the market share for seeds. Last year, Boa Safra had a market share of 5.7%, but when you look at Brazil, the top 10 players in Brazil in soybean seeds, the nine competitors we have, we represent 23% of the market. When you look at the U.S., you see that the top three players in seeds have 69% of the market. So in the U.S., you have a much more mature and consolidated market for seeds. And this is our objective, to grow in Brazil and have a greater share in the next few years. Now, slide number six. This slide, the source is the consultancy company FNP and shows the importance of soybean seeds in agriculture. So as the years go by, if you look at 2006, for example, soybean seeds represented 4% of the cost. And today, soybean seeds represent 18% of the cost in 2020. You can see that the strength of soybean seeds have been the highlight and a product that is more and more relevant within the costs of agriculture. The cost of agriculture is soybean seed, fertilizers, and chemicals or herbicides. So you have both fertilizers and herbicides losing space to seeds, as you can see on this graph, where we see that soybean seeds become more and more important. And we believe that this is a trend that will continue. Now, slide number seven, please. Talking about our capacity, storage and production capacity, the company has five processing units. Two of them belong to us. We have the unit in Cabeceiras and Buritis. These belong to Boa Safra, and the others are either third parties or leased. But last year, our own units represented 1.2 million in Cabeceiras and 750,000 in Buritis, 1.9 million bags. These are produced in our own units. And this year we are expanding our capacity. We're inaugurating now in 2021 an increase of 33.3% in our Buritis unit and an increase of 33.33% in the capacity in the unit in Cabeceiras. So these two increases will be ready this year. So we have an expansion in total volume of 25.6% this year. In comparison with 2020, we have this additional capacity. So the objective is to have 25.6% more in volume in comparison with 2020. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Glauber. I am the CFO and also Investor Relations Director. Slide number 8, please, where we will show the growth of the volume received for processing and also the harvested area at the end of March 31st, 2021, we had these numbers, and we were able to harvest 95 million tons in comparison with 68 million tons in 2020. With this, we had a growth of 38% in the volume, internalized volume. These are seeds approved in the field that are available in our units for processing. Now, slide number 9. The company delivered a consistent consistent growth. We can see between 2014 and 2020, we had an average growth of 25.6% in Q1. Normally, we sell only corn and bean seeds. We had 11% more in corn and 118% more in beans. Well, this due to our efforts in sales. On slide 10, we have the unit in Buritis. In Buritis, we have an expansion project of a cold storage. It is leasing. This will increase our capacity in the unit by 3.3%. The delivery of this cold storage is June 30, a second cold storage with an increase in capacity in the unit of 20%, where this will be delivered on July 31st. In the same unit, we have the third line for processing seeds. This third line is foreseen to be ready on January 15, will be used next year. In Cabeceiras, we have a cold storage that will increase the capacity by 18.2%. It'll be ready on May 31st, also a second storage area with the same capacity and delivery June 30. In this unit, we have foreseen the delivery of a third processing line for January 15th. In this way, in the next harvest, we will be able to use this line. We have also foreseen a silo with a capacity of 160,000 bags. We will have three silos, the first January 15, the second February 15, and the second March 20. In Jaborandi, this is a new unit. The construction began in 2021. We have the earth moving works, and earth moving should be ready on June 10. Then the first processing line will be delivered on January 15, 2022. That's the forecast. We have cold storage in this unit, which will increase the total capacity by 16.1%. Different from the other units, we're talking about an increase on the total capacity. Also, a second line for processing with delivery in February 28. We also have a storage area shed for 1 million bags, and the delivery will be April 20. Now, slide number 11, please. Marinho will give us more details. Thank you, Glauber. It's very important to talk about the seasonality of our operation. The seed business works in the opposite cycle in comparison with planting. How does a farm work? The harvest is in Q1, Q2. In Q3 and Q4 is the time for planting, when you have the beginning of the rainfall in September. When the rainfall stops, when rainfall decreases in the country, February, March, and April, you have the harvest, Q1, Q2, and as of September, when it begins to rain, you begin to plant. So a farm normally has this cycle. The billing is in Q1, Q2, and expenses normally in Q3, Q4. Since we are a company that supplies seeds for those who plant, we supply inputs for those who plant, so our cycle is the opposite. So it is within the year, but the opposite of the cycle of a farm. Why? Because during Q1 and Q2, and especially in Q1, we have the time when we harvest. So we have a lot of costs in Q1, because in Q1 we have a lot of cost. We are preparing our inventory. Why? Because seeds need to be processed, and they will stay in 6 months, during 6 months in cold storage. They will remain in cold storage for 6 months to decrease the transpiration and to have a high quality product when the farmer, our clients, receive the seeds from cold storage. When do they receive? In Q3, especially in September, October, November. So we have this seasonality in the operation. So our billing is concentrated in Q3 and Q4. And of course, as you will see in the next slides, this billing is where we have the results. So our company normally has a strong billing in Q3, Q4, and the results, most of the results also, are in Q3 and Q4. Q1 and Q2 are quarters when the harvest occurs, when raw materials are purchased, when we prepare our inventory, and high costs and very little billing in Q1, Q2, and also very little profit. Now, the next slide, please, number 12. In spite of having a great billing, since our billing happens in Q3 and Q4, we believe that the most important information we can give you is the level of sales. Our level of sales. Why? Because in spite of our billing happening in September, the sales begin to occur in Q1. Sales are very strong for seeds in Q1 and also very strong in Q2. So the great volumes of contracts, sale contracts, happen in Q1 and Q2. Only the billing will occur in September, in Q3 and Q4. So if you look at this graph, you will see that in Q1 2020, last year we had 1 million only in billing, 1.2 million in billing, but we had 127 million in contracts. We had already sold, we had orders, contracts with resale, but the great volume is to resellers. In Q1 last year, we had only 1 million in billing and 127 million in orders, basically soybean seeds. So the 127 million were volumes that were billed in Q3, Q4. If you look at our Q2 in 2020, Q2, you will see that the company began to bill 49 million, almost 50 million in billing. And even with this billing, orders were large. We already had another 189 million in orders in portfolio. In Q3 2020, on the graph, page 12, you see the main month for billing. The company billed another 305 million, and we had 188 million in orders in portfolio. In Q4 2020, we billed more, another 232 million reais. And at the end of Q4, we delivered all the orders. You will see that first we sell and then we bill. So in Q4, we zeroed all the orders. And here you see the billing of last year. For Q1 21, this is a quarter. Well, we are very optimistic. We have a very strong growth in 2021, especially in sales to be billed. Of course, in build also, we did in Q1. We had 1 million, now we have 3 million in Q1 21, but it is not very relevant for the results. As Glauber said, it's an increase of corn and bean seeds, but the best were still small during these two types of seeds, corn and beans. When we look at the number of orders we have, these are orders and contracts to be billed. They will probably be billed as of Q2, but especially in Q3 and Q4 of this year. We have already orders 467 million. If you compare Q1 with Q1 2020, you will see that in sales we have three times as much sales in Q1 21 in comparison with Q1 2020. Now, talking about seasonality of the operation, slide 13, this graph is very important to be understood. You can see that net revenue of the company here in 2020, it begins very low in Q1, low in Q2 2020, and the strong months in revenue are Q3 and Q4. And this happened in 2020 and will occur always this way. So we have the seasonality. We don't bill. We only bill when the farmers receive the seeds to be planted. Look, if you look at the EBITDA in 2020, you can see low in Q1, Q2, and then very high in Q3, Q4, together with the billing. And the same thing happens in the profit, the graph at the bottom. So the profit is low in Q1, Q2, and then goes up as we bill the seeds. Now, the sales contracts, lower right, to be billed, these are the sales. They work in the opposite way. So you have good sales in Q1, Q2, also sales in Q3, sales before planting, and in Q4, basically no sales, only billing of the contracts already sold. So in this sales indicator to be billed, we have this strong growth in Q1 2021 with the triple of sales in comparison with 2020. Slide number 14, please. I'd like to pass the floor to Glaube Caldas, our CFO. On slide 14, the growth of revenue, you can see that we had significant growth in revenue in Q1 2021 in comparison with Q1 2020 due to the increase in the sales of beans and corn seeds, as we saw previously. We would like this to be analyzed in the last 12 months, and in the last 12 months, we have a growth of 2%. We went from 588 million in billing in 2020 to 600 million in billing in March 2021 in the last 12 months. Now, slide number 15. On slide number 15, we have the company's EBITDA. So we had a negative EBITDA of 45 million in Q1 2021 in comparison with 7 million in Q1 20. The EBITDA suffered an impact due to the fair value of commodities in 2020. We had a fair value in our inventory, 9,455,000, and in 2021, 1,605,000 fair value of commodities. This affected the EBITDA, but once again, our analysis is due to seasonality, always happens in the last 12 months. And if we analyze the last 12 months, we have a growth in EBITDA LTM at the end of Q1 21 of 97 million in comparison with an EBITDA LTM in Q1 20, 58 million. We had a growth of 66.6% in EBITDA between 2020 and 2021, Q1. Slide number 16. In line with the EBITDA, we see the same result in net profit. In the quarter, we had an impact due to the appreciation of our inventory at fair value. In Q1 2020, we had a result, a net profit of 1,912,000. And in Q1 21, the value was 2,838,000 negative. In the same way, if we look at the net profit of the last 12 months, and this is what we recommend at the end of March 31st, we have a net profit of 65 million in comparison with 33 million in the same period the previous year. So we had an increase of 94% in the net profit. Next, slide 17, I invite Marinho to give you further details. Going over our CapEx, slide 17, in terms of investments, we're in line with Q1 2020, investing 5,400,000. Of course, this investment was before the IPO, which happened in April. So none of our numbers here includes the numbers of the IPO that happened in April. Obviously, the main CapEx in investment is beginning now after the IPO, and now it is the focus of the company. Slide 18, financial performance. In terms of with the seasonality, the company always takes out loans in Q1 of the year. So, as I had said, in February, March, April, this is the time of the harvest. This is when we have to buy raw materials. So we have high expenses during this period, very strong in expenses and energy. So we always take out loans in Q1 and part of Q2, especially in February, March, and April. So these loans are made with payments in 180 days, and they are paid during the same year. They are short-term loans, and they are paid in September, October, November. So they are paid, the loans, in Q3 and Q4. This is normal, an increase in loans, and we pay during the same year as our billing grows in Q3, Q4. You can see numbers in line with our net debt per EBITDA is going down in comparison with the 12 months in 2020. Of course, the resources of the IPO are not included in Q1 last year because with the loan, we now have a negative debt. We have a positive cash. Slide 19, this slide shows the amortization, the schedule for amortization of the debt. In Q1, we closed with 212 million in debt and 64 million in cash. But most of the debt will be mature in less than a year. As I said previously, 168 million of debt will mature within in September, October, November. After the IPO, after the public offer, IPO in April, we have a positive cash. We have worked, and we are anticipating the payment of these short-term debts. We should be paying off these debts in the next few weeks, or most of them. We also have 35 million in debt in the medium term, 12 and 36 months, 5 million in 30 to 60 months, and 2 million above 60 months, in excess of 60 months. Most of these debts are in subsidized credit lines for long-term investment. And in principle, we want to maintain this long-term debt because the rates are, because the interest rates are very favorable. I'd like to thank you all for participating in our presentation. Thank you very much also to those who invested and are believing in Boa Safra. Well, I thank you for participating, and we will continue this expansion project, and I'm sure that we will have good results in the future. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now we will begin the Q&A session for investors and analysts. The questions should be sent through our chat. Please wait while we collect the questions. Well, one correction. On slide number 8, we'd like to make a correction. This is the volume internalized for 2021, 94,603 tons. And for 2020, 68,436 tons. Before, I had mentioned that it would be 94 million. So this was wrong. In reality, 94,603 tons. We'd like to begin the Q&A session. The first question is from Homero Santos Nunes, GVP Investments. Please talk about first and second generation. These treatments are with chemicals. This treatment is done with herbicides. Can you have a strategic partnership with BT for products that are more environmentally correct instead of chemical treatments? Good morning, Homero. I'll tell you how this works. Today, we have seeds, TSI, first and second generation. The first is a fungicide and insecticide. It is a chemical, and it is used on the seeds. For what is the farmer's problem? The farmer plants these seeds, and it can be attacked by a pathogen. So the producer wants to sow the seeds and have them survive and become a viable plant. So we sell the seeds with this fungicide, first generation, and this fungicide blocks, protects the seed against fungus and also soil illnesses and insects in the soil. So it protects the seed to avoid being attacked as a grain. So it emerges in the first few days as a viable plant. The second generation is a technology that is in development. We're going to the second year. In the U.S., when you look at first generation in the U.S., it's above 90%. Here, in Boa Safra, we have an adoption of 14%. But it's in line. We're growing a lot in TSI. And so we went from 1% 5 years ago. We began with 1%. We have been growing strongly. And we believe that there is a trend to adopt rapidly the first generation in the next few years. Concerning the second generation TSI, in the U.S., there is an adoption of 20% in area. It's growing. And last year, we launched the product with 1% of our sales using the second generation. We want to increase this. Our goal is to grow in second generation. What does it add? The TSI second generation has 5 more molecules, 5 additional products apart from the fungicide. So these are extra products. We have one that helps expand the roots. It's an amino acid based on algae. It's a product that is made with algae. We have a drying powder, which is to dry, and a polymer, which is a carbon talc for fluidity in the modern machines. Graphite was used, and now we're using this polymer, which is made with carbon, so it has no effect on the parts of the machines. We also use cobalt and molybdenum and the inoculant, which is a microorganism. The inoculant is biological. Boa Safra imports this from Argentina, the inoculant. So it already has we already have a biological component in TSI second generation. I believe it's the trend. So the trend for the next few years is to use more and more biological products. Today we have this one in our portfolio within the complete seed. We have one of the additional items that we add is already biological. And to be frank, I don't know very well the portfolio of Da Vinci, but I know that from what we hear, it's a very good company. I don't see problems in having a strategic partnership with them. I believe this is a trend to treat the seeds with biological products, substituting chemical components. Thank you, Marino. We have a question from Maurício Coutinho from Rumo. Does Boa Safra has a pipeline of acquisitions for consolidation? Do you have any negotiation in progress? Yes. Today we have a pipeline. We have XP helping us as buy side. We hired XP brokerage house, and we have some conversations that have begun. But in principle, nothing very developed. What we have today is we have our growth plan ready, the regions where we want to grow, and today we have two lines to follow. One through acquisitions and another with organic growth. In principle, we have looked at the possibility of acquisitions. We've looked a lot with a lot of interest, but if we don't make acquisitions, we have a good track record of organic growth, and we will grow one way or another. This is the company's strategy. Thank you. Next question. Gabriela Agostini, shareholder. Is there any mechanism to protect the variation in price between harvests for soybean? Gabriel, today we have a good hedge. We have a level of hedging that is very high. In our business, we have a possibility of buying raw materials. As we buy, we sell. So we work this way with physical inventory. And normally, we have a mismatch that is no greater than 5-6%. So we buy raw materials because our producers, integrated producers, also produce soybean. They sell soybean to us, and the soybean they sell to us, the integrated farmers, is raw material for our seeds. So, at the same time, in the same period, when we begin to buy raw materials is when we are selling our end product. So, our company works very well with the natural hedge, purchase and sale. So, we work this way. If we cannot do it, we use market tools, especially contracts in CBOT, Chicago, and also exchange rate contracts. But most of the time, the hedge is made in a natural way. That is the hedge we use because our business allows us to buy and sell in the same period. A question from Tiago Lorenzo. Do you convert a bag of seeds for how many bags of soybean? The future contracts on December 31st, 2020. Are these soybean seeds or normal soybean? Well, Tiago, the soybean seed is normally 40 kilogram bags, while a bag of soybean is 60 kilograms. So normally you have a third, you have a third of breakage in the system. So when we buy a bag of soybean from a producer, an integrated producer, for example, a field where we use a matrix seed, every time we buy these seeds, every time we buy these grains and we convert them into greens, we lose a third. So we buy 60 kilograms, 20 kilograms are lost. This is sold as soybean. So if you look at our numbers, you will see that we have the sale of grains in our business. So these are the seeds that we discarded. So it is sold to industry to make oil for export or meal. It is sold. So 20 kilograms become grain and 40 kilograms become seeds. So one bag of soybean, you make one bag of seeds and you have 20 kilograms that are sold off. Your second question, purchase from producers. Many of them, we have the two types. When we buy from our integrated producers, it's very common during the business for the producer to sell the production. So when they see that the price is favorable, a good price, they begin to sell this, and with firm sale prices. So most of our integrated producers sell a great part of the volume they will harvest in advance to Boa Safra, to our company. But on average, all producers leave part of the volume to be sold during the harvest. That's why we buy a considerable amount in advance, and we also buy during the harvest. This is our strategy. We always have a volume that we negotiate in advance, and these seeds sold in advance, these contracts, and we also have a volume that we sell after the harvest, after April, which is when we buy the second part and sell it also at the price of the raw materials. You asked a third question on the future contracts. Last year, these contracts, future contracts, that are in our year-end report, they are purchases of raw materials, soybean. You see future contracts in the report, but the majority, most of it, 95%, represents inventory. Inventory of grains, they are classified as future contracts because they are in fact the contract, but they are not a hedge. They are a future contract with integrated producers. Daniel Guerra, shareholder, do you have the strategy to increase your participation in corn, beans, and other seeds? Daniel, we do have plans to increase, but talking a little about beans, the market for planting beans, the size of the market is much smaller than soybean. So even if we grow, and our objective is to grow, we have grown in beans, seeds, but it's a market due to its size, it will never have a potential, not even close, to soybean or corn. Beans, although it's very common on the population's table, few countries consume beans, so the market is not globalized for beans. Beans has a lower demand, much lower than soybean. But bearing this in mind, it's a niche market and very interesting, like other agricultural commodities, sorghum, rice. So we're always looking at the seed markets. Now, talking about corn specifically, the corn market is a market that is giant, not as big as soybean yet in Brazil, but it is a market that is growing. Corn is growing. And since there is a planted area that is smaller, it tends to grow more rapidly than soybean, in spite of being smaller. But it grows more rapidly. It's a global commodity, corn, with in U.S. currency. It is a product that we believe will have a great demand. Our horizon for corn seeds is in the medium term. We believe that the opportunities in soybean seeds are very great. We also believe in the focus, in having focus. We're very focused on soybean. We believe that consolidation in soybean is very great. We're focused in growing in soybean seeds. But we are always looking at corn, but we have three. We are growing in corn year after year with corn seeds, but we're still putting together a portfolio. We have 32 materials for soybean, although it's all soybean, 32 different materials, while in corn we have three. So we are preparing still our portfolio for corn. I believe that corn is an avenue for growth, but in the medium term. We have a plan until 2026, well designed for soybean. After this growth in soybean, corn is a strong possibility for growth in the future. That would be long term. Thank you. We'd like to conclude the Q&A session. I'd like to pass the floor to Mr. Marino for his final comments. I would like to thank a lot to all investors who believed in our business. I'd like to thank the team. We have a marvelous team that has done a great job, and they are responsible for us, for our success. I'd like to say that we have this commitment of honoring our commitments with our investors. You believed in us, and we will be working, doing our best for the company to continue growing and to consolidate ourselves in the sector. Thank you very much. Thank you, the conference call for Q1 2021 for Boa Safra is concluded. Please disconnect your lines.